B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into Felger and Mads. What do you got going on? What do you got going on over there, Murray? Sorry.
You know, I get that Zoe's a slob. I've learned to accept that after all these years. But I do skeeve when it comes to certain things. And as I'm trying to log into the workstation here, what do I find? I'll tweet a photo of it so in case people don't believe me, because you probably wouldn't believe something so disgusting. There is an old piece of gum, a chewed piece of gum, literally stuck to the monitor. So I'll assume Zoe chewing. Yeah, there it is. So Zoe chewing gum. Obviously, you shouldn't have gum in your mouth when you're trying to spit out a take or comment or whatever it happens to be during Zolak and Bertrand. So you have to take the gum out. Instead of putting it in a trash barrel or any kind of receptacle, you stick it to the side of the monitor? Are you kidding me? I'm not the finger-wagging Nana when it comes to things like this. Like, fine, again, I've accepted that he's like Ogre. He's like our fun frat guy. But this is just gross. Like, stuff with food, gum, toenails. I skeeve. Like, it's gross. It's disgusting.
So we need a cleanup crew here in the in our Tom Fred Tire studios.
And you wonder why. So those, why do you guys always wipe down with the Lysol wipes? What's wrong with you? This is why. It's repulsive.
So are you just going to let it lay there?
No, I'm going to take a photo, and then I'll remove it with one of the many Lysol wipes that thankfully I just re-upped and bought a new thing of. Thank God I have them.
Okay, it's Felger and Maz on a reentry Monday. On that note, we got Big Jim Murray in the Maz chair. We got Matt McCarthy in the update studio. It's a true reentry Monday. So everything from the weekend, to me, it feels like four main topics. Patriots in general, what you saw in preseason game number two and the state of the team. The reinstatement of Josh Gordon is two. I'd say Chris Sale is three. And maybe the most important story in town right now is Chris Sale, that I don't know is getting enough urgency, if you will. And for the 5-game winning streak of your Boston Red Sox, Murray, hold your thoughts on all. Well, no, don't hold your thoughts. You can weigh in on whatever you want, folks. So we'll take your calls on all of the above at 617-779-0985. Mason Souza is behind the glass. I believe he has released the hounds. So phone lines are open for you on anything, those four topics. I do want to start with the Patriots.
Sure.
Just in general, because if I'm a Patriots fan today, I feel kind of good. I feel kind of good about the team. I really do. And what I would be most encouraged by is the way some of those young players look and have looked. And I, at least I'm consistent with that, because I said, I think when we first, you know, really started to turn our attention to the Patriots 2-3 weeks ago before camp opened, I said the single most important thing is the next quarterback. But, you know, outside of that obvious thing, to me, the biggest issue on the team and the thing that I was focusing the most on is, where's the young talent? Where's the young core? Do they have a young core? Do they have a next wave? They were the oldest team in the league last year, I think, or the oldest team to win a championship in blob years. Like, there's stats out there about the age of the team. It was an old team, one of the older teams to win a championship, blah, 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 whatever those stats were. So it's not just me saying they're too old. They are factually on the old side. And the drafts in 2016, 17, a little wanting for what is left on the roster. So it really became imperative that guys started to pop in that Isaiah Wynn draft class and now this last draft class. And boy, have you seen that? I mean, I think you've really seen that.
Especially defensively, me. And I mean, these last couple of games, and granted it's preseason, you take it with a grain of salt, but you can tell, like, they get a real push up front and they're going to be a problem for teams when it comes to a pass rush. This kid, whose name I forget, but the kid that got out of Maryland.
Cowart.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. In the fifth round. I mean, that wasn't a second or third stringer he was going against. That was Roger Saffold, who was on the L.A. Rams last year in the Super Bowl. Like, that's a good offensive lineman.
That's the guy they trucked on the first series.
He bowled him over.
Oh, my God. And that was serious.
So whether it's someone like him or Winovich, even Jawan Williams looked pretty good in the secondary. Like, defensively, everything that we've been hearing and all the hype and how deep they are, I'm really starting to believe it. Like, they look good on that side of the ball.
To me, it's not just defensively, though. I think you had reason for optimism there with Isaiah Wynn, not just the fact that he was out there, but he sort of looked the part, and Zoe did a good job on the broadcast when he wasn't chucking gum, spotlighting Isaiah Wynn. I think the young running back, I'll get to him in a minute. But
Damian Harris, yeah.
Yeah, I like Damian Harris. I think I may like him better than... Well, anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get to that story. You know, I think through the first two preseason games, this has become apparent that against second and third stringers, and that's an important thing to say, against second and third stringers, Jakobi Meyers can't be covered and Chase Winovich can't be blocked.
Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly.
It's true.
Those guys have done whatever they've wanted for two straight games against second and third string competition, which, you know, doesn't say what they're going to do against starting competition, but it tells you they're already ahead of second and third string competition, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and it also leads me to believe, given this coaching staff and how much success that they've had with even middling players, and this is, you know, credit to Belichick, he's going to make sure that those guys are put in situations where they can benefit, where they're going to, you know, go up against the weak link. And once Edelman comes back in this wide receiver core, and now that they have Josh Gordon, I know we'll get to him, now looks a little bit deeper, well, you'll have Meyers, I would assume, like isolated on a second or third stringer, but maybe, you know, a guy that's not one of your top cornerbacks or the second cornerback. It's the nickelback. So he's going to probably win those matchups. Those two look real good. Meyers looks real, real good.
Okay, so team thoughts, of which I have a ton more. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the Josh Gordon reinstatement?
I was stunned. I mean, this was a Friday news dump, 6:30, middle of the baseball reporters, Jimmy Stewart behind the glass. Like, we have breaking news. I'm like, on what? And then it was that. I mean, Mike, I was with you on this. It felt like this was over. The last time that...
Well, not over, but, you know, well, when you're out there week one, you got to wonder. When I say week one of training camp.
Well, I felt over because of the way Brady and Belichick talked about him. Tom Brady literally referred to him in past tense, you know, once camp opened up and he was asked about him. And it's like, yeah, no, I needed someone to throw to in Brookline. Like, it could have been an Uber driver, for God's sakes. You know, and he was saying, like, hey, we wish him the best going forward. And Belichick saying it's a league matter. At that point, I said, well, unfortunately, this kid's demons caught up with him again. That's it. It's over. He ain't coming back. And bang, just like that, he's back. I was surprised.
Okay, so I think it's a nice surprise for you. And I don't know if they were truly surprised, though, Murray, because I don't know if you were on the show the day that I did it, but there was a day a couple weeks ago where Belichick made a comment about Maurice Harris. He was asked about Maurice Harris, who had popped the first couple days, or first couple weeks, really, of training camp at the receiver position. And when he was asked about him, Belichick said something along the lines of, well, it's the way it is now. We'll see how it all shakes out because things are going to change here in training camp. You know, it was along those lines.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And when I said that, I said, oh, does he know that Gordon's coming back or that Demaryius Thomas is farther along than we think? Or because he was talking about, you know, because he's played the boundary, the X, the Y, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, Bill sort of said something in there that about, like, pretty much guarantee things are going to change. And I felt maybe that was a hint for Gordon at that time, a couple weeks ago. But either way, it's a nice surprise for the Patriots. I think it's a big boost for the Patriots. I'm not going to be down on Gordon this year. I didn't love the signing last year. And I think I was justified in the way that they used him early and how he did not help the team. When he was suspended again and left, they won their last five games. They were better without him.
You know, Brady started spreading the ball around a little bit more. I mean, you go back to that loss in Tennessee. How many did he try to force to him?
So,
double digits. It was ridiculous.
That's to me on Gordon. How are they going to use him? And it was the bye week. So they lost to Tennessee, then they had the bye week. Against Tennessee, the week before the bye, they threw to him 12 times, that's completed four. There were all these long, you know, over-the-top kind of plays. It's just low percentage. And then they came back from the bye. And they threw him underneath on slants. And I think they completed seven of their next seven targets to him. And it was all sort of high percentage, underneath, sort of using him in the possession game, which is what I want. And if they use him like that, they're great. If they're going to, you know, try to get the guy to stretch the defense and that whole fallacy, then they're going to run into the same thing they did last year. And they don't need that. But I think if they stick with what they did in the second half of last year with Gordon, he's a huge add. I would also say how people are now putting this in, like, in the win column, or I don't know if the win column is right, but, you know, for example, The Athletic.
Oh, this so,
I mean,
title.
So, like, I wonder if, Murray, I wonder if the media cartel's at work with Gordon, too. You know, because the
is this the headline, now the wide receiver position is a position of strength?
Yep, in a flash. The Patriots group of wide receivers has become a strength.
That's patently false.
Well, but how can you say that when it hinges on, and this is not an exaggeration, folks. This is a factually accurate statement. How can you say it turns on a dime and it hinges on one of the singularly most undependable athletes in the history of pro sports? That is a fact. So I said one of. So is he top three? Steve Howe, Daryl Strawberry? I mean, I don't know.
He's in that conversation.
Is he top three, top five? One of. the most unreliable pro athletes in the history of sports, gets reinstated on a conditional basis, and now you've gone from a receiver group that's weak to one that's potentially as deep as you've ever had. Or what? This is asinine. So the coverage is what bugs me. It's a nice little surprise that he's back. He should be a good add to the
but Mike, it's not just
offense if they use him properly. But how do you put that in the, like, lock it down, all of a sudden we're deep?
You can't.
That's silly.
That whole position, just about every single player at the position, it's a big if. It's Julian Edelman and a bunch of question marks. If Maurice Harris can, you know, actually learn the system and actually be a decent wide receiver. If Josh Gordon can keep his nose clean and not get suspended again. If the guy that was with the Broncos that we hate,
Demaryius Thomas,
actually isn't soft anymore, can come back after a torn Achilles. Look, there's so many ifs.
Even Jacoby Myers. I mean, I'm in. I've seen it now. Right. Like, I get it.
Let's wait till the regular season game.
Can I see him play against a starter? But, I mean, that being said, I like him and I feel good about him. But just to go all of a sudden, now that's it. Deep, you know, they're all set at receiver. Like, Lord, that was quick. That's item number two. Item number three. Why do I think I'm not going to see Chris Sale for about another couple years? And I don't know if people fully appreciate what kind of story this is. McCarthy, doesn't feel to you like he's going for Tommy John surgery?
He'll be under the knife probably within the next week or so. I mean, just based on the comments that we heard from the team on Saturday when this first came out, they didn't sound good. They were going to have James Andrews review the MRI. He wasn't even going to have an appointment. Now he's having an appointment today. This guy has been a breakdown waiting to happen. And all of a sudden you're going to the top, Dr. Tommy John himself. And I feel like people really haven't reacted to this. They're like, oh, well, they're just shutting him down. It's fine. No, this is a serious
Tommy John
elbow injury.
Tommy John is not a year out. It's closer to, it's between 1.5 and 2, basically, isn't that it, McCarthy? You don't come back in 1 year. You come back in like 18 months.
Sure, and this is happening at the end of this season. So, I mean, if he comes back next year, you're talking about August or September. I mean, Tommy John isn't a career killer used to be,
hold
but
on,
it's still 12 months.
You say he comes back next year?
He could come back in like August or September
No,
I highly doubt that.
No.
That's best case scenario.
I thought Tommy John was 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, you're seeing more 12 months now with pitchers in this day and age. Like, Tommy John isn't the career killer that it used to be,
so I didn't
but
say
it's still a year.
I didn't say career, but I...
At least a year.
I thought the timeline was at least a year, and you're talking sometime into your second that you're coming back. I don't know. Look it up with Lackey. Look it up with these guys. It's a year plus. So I think you're looking at spring training of
2021.
If we don't get hit by an asteroid, or, you know, the world doesn't fall apart before then. That's my prediction, McCarthy. McTakey, the spring training of 2021, and I bet you he won't start spring training.
See, I'm still looking
of 2021.
I'm looking this still a little bit optimistically. Because,
you're crazy.
Well, who was the last pitcher in this rotation that went to go see Dr. James Andrews?
David Price.
Did anything happen?
No, but that's a rare scenario. It is. Generally, when you go to see James Andrews, that means you're going under the knife.
McCarthy, how old is he?
Sale's 30. 30 or 31.
Okay. And what does he make a year?
He will be making $31 million starting next year.
For how many years?
For 5 more years.
5!
Yeah, it's that.
5 times 30 for a guy who's going to return when he's 32. And McTakey's right about when you finally ultimately do come back. I mean, Evaldi did it twice.
Sure.
You can be better. And so, fine. But at that point, you're 32 and you're 2 year, you know, so he's going to chew up at least the first year of that 30. I mean, that's a whopper. That's a game changer kind of injury. I don't know if people fully appreciate it.
If he goes under the knife.
And I think he's done.
Either way, they got to shut him down. I mean, he's shut down for the rest of the year.
That's a no-brainer. But I just think, and we'll play the sound. I think the tonality of Cora and Dombrowski was
ominous.
I felt so. I felt ominous. And let's face it. This guy's been a Tommy John. He's been a elbow ligament. He's waiting to happen his whole life with that delivery.
Yeah.
You know, you knew it was coming. And of course it comes right when the $30 million a year.
I think it all but ensures Mookie Betts going to get traded in the offseason.
Okay.
I think so too.
Okay. We'll see what that else opens up. Real quick. Anything on the Sox 5 game winning streak? Murray?
No.
McTakey?
Too little too late. No, I don't care.
Okay. So
I'm offended you asked.
Your thoughts on all of these things. I'm late to your calls right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Patriots 2 of 6 on third down. Empty backfield. Patterson and Myers left. Brossette is right. Throws towards the end zone. Up in the air. And it is caught for a touchdown. Damon Patterson with the reception from 23 yards. Stidham just threw it up where only he could catch it. Nicely done on the back shoulder throw down near the goal line. Patterson, it took time to see. The official took his time to make the official call, but he kept both feet in. It's tough, though. That left foot landed may have been on the line. We'll see, but right now it's ruled a touchdown for the Patriots.
Jared Stidham. Game-winning touchdown pass, 4 minutes left, win you the game. I still like Jared Stidham. Now, he could have thrown three interceptions in this ballgame.
Two of which probably looked like pick sixes going the other way. But
he could have given you up 14 points against starters. Maybe he does. And I think he was, you know, just fine, maybe not even that, up until that final drive. But did you see him on the final drive?
Yeah, he was good in the final drive. And there was one play he had in the third quarter where he scrambled. It was third down, and he scrambled for like an 11-yard gain and got a first down. I like that play, too. But he looked pretty good on that ultimate game-winning drive.
So I will just tell you that I do not give stock to preseason scramble plays. It's just you see it in every preseason game. All these quarterbacks take off running, and like that's one play that I think he has in his bag, which is good, Murray. I don't give him credit for that. I give him credit for whatever that was, 10 minutes left in the game. They start on their one.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Titans had punted down to the 1 yard line, Bill, challenged it, and was upheld. So he starts at his 1 yard line. And on that drive, he went 7 for 7 for 79 yards. It was terrific. Calm in the pocket, stood in there. And I still like that kid. I still like Stidham. I don't know where he's going to be. I'm not making any bold predictions. But I thought that was another good night for him. And you talk about, Murray, that intangible of the balls. And what do you look like with 4 minutes left and the ball in your hands? I don't know.
No, it was impressive. I mean, even if you're going against third, fourth stringer, still, that's tough to do.
He's on his half-yard line.
To engineer a drive like that, it was ballsy. It was good.
Okay, so I put Stidham on the list of guys that I think good, promising young players for the Patriots. And you've seen it in these first two games. Dave in the Plymouth, lead us off here. What do you got on the Pats?
So, question, Mike. They have traditionally, over the last 10 years, not kept three quarterbacks. And you've got Hoyer, and you've got Stidham, who is progressing. And you've got a bunch of roster decisions, which these young players are making difficult. What do you do?
Okay, I'll tell you, Dave. To me, there's only one reason to keep Brian Hoyer.
And that's
to keep Tom Brady happy.
That's a stupid reason.
It is, isn't it?
It's a stupid Mike, it's a stupid reason because we don't even know if Brady's going to be with the team next year.
How do you appease
this guy and basically, you know, look at the franchise over the next 10 years and say, well, listen, we gave away one potential, you know, quarterback who could take over in Garoppolo. We're going to have to give up another one?
So I don't think that's the equation, David. Thanks for the call. I think the equation is, I think Brian Hoyer's $3 million.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's decent money. That's more than Josh Gordon is making. So $3 million, and he's what? Just there to? Because I mean, I'm sorry. I think Stidham is a higher. I like Hoyer as a backup, and I've said if Tom Brady got hit by a bus tomorrow, you're still going 10-11-5, something like that, and winning the division with Brian Hoyer. But I think Stidham has a higher ceiling and is the next guy that you're going to be developing, and we'll see what he becomes. And I think they can coach him up into the same thing where you're going to win 10, 11 games with Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer. So why is Brian Hoyer at $3 million a year?
Yeah, I think it's the Brady comfortability factor. And apparently he was good on the scout team going into the Super Bowl last year too. But, if they're going to end up having to cut somewhere where they're real deep, and
right?
A good player's going to have to go, whether it's defensive line, linebacker, wide receiver, well, I'd rather Hoyer go. And you carry two quarterbacks.
Exactly.
You can save 1.5 against the cap if you cut Hoyer.
They have a chance to save, and that's just cap money. I'm talking real money. 3 million beans for you've got a good young backup, a guy you want to start developing. You've got roster crunches elsewhere. What's the percentage of keeping Brian Hoyer? And, to me, we'll see. You know, some people think Bill is sort of busting Brady's balls along the way by giving him a lack of receivers or giving him no tight ends. We'll see how much Bill's really willing to make it uncomfortable on Brady if he blows out his buddy. And, you know, that to me is just an interesting thing to watch from that standpoint. Nick in Rhode Island on Chris Sale. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to talk about how this really doesn't affect the team, I mean, too much in the short term. Obviously, long term, just because of what you talked about, implications over a year or so. But, I mean, he's been inconsistent enough throughout the year. Yeah, he's put two good starts together, whatever. But it's not. They're in a position where they're, what, 6.5 back right now? They're chasing now the Rays and the A's behind the Indians. They're not going to catch him. So I don't think that this injury, even locking him down for the year, just putting him out, is going to affect him much. But you see what this is happening with Glasnow. McCarthy, hopefully you can back me up on this. Glasnow's been sitting out. But he's probably needs Tommy John, but they're riding every last hope that he doesn't because they're in this wild card race.
Well, it feels like every pitcher is just on this side of, you know, Tanaka was supposed to have it. He rested and he never went and got the surgery. But it feels like if you looked hard enough at any of these guys' elbows, there'd be fraying in that, is that ULR?
UCL.
The UCL ligament, whatever that is. And they're all sort of on the verge. And it just depends whether you, you know, which side of the line you want to go. It feels to me on Sale, I just, from the tonality, it feels like it's clear.
Yeah, which amazes me. And, you know, the first call that we get on Chris Sale today is like, oh, it's not really a big deal, not in the short term. You don't understand. You see, this is a long-term franchise-altering injury because if he's out until 2021, and that's the assumption that you have to make, then you need to totally reset because you have 1 year, essentially, left on this window with Mookie Betts being a free agent. This changes, essentially, how you build your roster for the next year and a half, you know, and into the next portion of Red Sox baseball.
So you're saying next year now becomes a throwaway year?
In some ways, yes, it does, because you don't have...
But you understand the caller's point.
Yeah.
And here's the caller's point. What's the team record with Chris Sale on the mound this year?
It's not good.
It's like 12 and 18, 13 and 19, whatever it is at this point. I mean, no matter what bleep bum they put in there, it's not going to be much worse than that. And I'm not telling you... So what it affects is their ceiling, right? How good you can be. Because, you know, but... They've been horrible with Chris Sale on the mound. So the win-loss record, I mean, I sort of understand what the caller's saying, but it's...
No, that, for the future, it's still problematic.
It's a huge problem.
$30 million, whatever. It's 10% of your... It's, you know, more than 10% of your payroll. It's your ace, or at worst, your co-ace, a guy that you're planning to build around for the next 5 years and commit to, and now he's out for at least a year. And that is, I agree, it is a franchise-altering sort of thing. I would still hate to think, though, that you're going to punt on next year now because Chris Sale's hurt.
Yeah, but how do you replace him, essentially? Because you don't, because there aren't really a lot of great...
You trade Mookie
Betts because you need to get young, cost-controlled starting pitching, and they don't have that in the system. This increases the likelihood that Mookie Betts gets traded this offseason, this Chris Sale injury. It's a huge domino effect for the rest of the team and the way they build moving forward.
Huh. I don't put those two together because they're still too good. They're still too good.
But are they? Look at their starting rotation next year.
Yes. Or let me put it another way.
Yeah.
The league is still this bad.
Yeah, the American League still sucks.
The league is still this bad. So, I mean, I'm not giving up on years right now. I'm not just, like, sacrificing a year. Because, again, I think in the short term, the production is not going to fall off from Chris Sale in the short term because his production has been so poor, really, for the last calendar year. I understand what the caller means when he says that. So I'm not punting on any year. I'm still not giving away Mookie Betts unless I win the trade. Brad in Northborough on Josh Gordon's return. Your thoughts?
Yeah, hi, guys. First off, I just wanted to let you know about Chris Sale. Like, Dave Dombrowski likes to be that boyfriend that knows he's getting dumped and just decides, I'm going to leave a gift for you to remember me by. And he did that in Detroit with Miggy Cabrera's contract. And now he's doing it with Chris Sale. Like, it's a big question mark on a guy with a bum arm and handing all that money off to him. But the reason why I called in was how Tom Brady, and I didn't hear the article or I didn't hear the interview, but I heard it on clips on your station, how he had kind of had a loaded comment when he was practicing in Tennessee last week about his lack of receivers, lack of weapons, and then a day or two later, Josh Gordon got magically reinstated.
Yep.
So I don't know if the NFL is just throwing a bone to the Patriots or not.
Okay, but. Well, so let's get to this. How does Josh Gordon return so quickly, relatively speaking? He's not going to serve any suspension.
Nothing. Yep.
Okay. Time served, the 4 or 5 games, whatever it was last year, that he misses at the end of the year is going to count as time served. He's not going to serve any suspension. He's handed back to the Patriots in the middle of training camp. Conspiracy theories involving the return of Josh Gordon right after McCarthy's update.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right, the Patriots are back on the practice field this afternoon. Josh Gordon was present at the start of practice. He was not in uniform, however. Julian Edelman was. He's in pads for the first time this camp as he works his way back from a thumb injury. Demaryius Thomas was also spotted by reporters in Foxborough. Bill Belichick and company getting ready for Thursday against the Panthers.
You know, this week will be a little bit different for us. We got to get ourselves ready to go against Carolina and short week and try to maximize the opportunity that we have here and be ready against obviously a very talented, well-coached, and good fundamental football team.
Pats yesterday cut wide receiver Dontrell Inman. He reportedly asked for his release. Red Sox off tonight. They'll open up a 2-game set with the Philadelphia Phillies tomorrow. Chris Sale was set to meet with Dr. James Andrews today in Florida after being placed on the injured list with elbow inflammation over the weekend. No news yet on the status of that appointment or how it may have gone today. And the college football AP Top 25 is out. Clemson is the top team in the nation in the preseason poll for the first time in program history. Sports of Headlines brought to you by IBEW Local 103 and NECA Electrical Contractors, powering the Sports Hub studios. Visit thepowerprofessionals.com. I'm Matt McCarthy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get headlines anytime on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or here again in 30 minutes.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Patriots offense is getting a big boost. Our Adam Schefter is reporting that wide receiver Josh Gordon has been reinstated and is now eligible to return to New England. Gordon was suspended December 20th for violating the terms of his reinstatement under the league's substance abuse policy, missing the Patriots' final 2 regular season games and all 3 playoff games. All right, Adam Schefter joining us now live. Adam, what more can you tell us?
Josh Gordon is going to return to the New England Patriots this weekend. It is such that he's being reinstated on a conditional basis, and he will be allowed to attend the Patriots' August 22nd preseason game, but not play in it. But he will be eligible to return for the regular season, and this is just the boost that New England's offense needed, and it's a big boost for Josh Gordon personally and professionally. He's been given so many chances, and I think Roger Goodell, who had the discretion in this decision and decided to reinstate Josh Gordon, knows that it's up to him. And in fact, a short time ago, Roger Goodell said, and I am reading this quote to you word for word, Jay, "We are all rooting for Josh to succeed, both personally and professionally. Everyone shares in that hope and will continue to support him to every extent possible. But as Josh acknowledged, ultimately his success is up to him." And Josh Gordon has handed off many of those chances when he could have shined, could have lit up the league, could have had huge numbers and a big contract by now, but because of the personal setbacks, professional setbacks that he suffered, he found himself in the position where he has been suspended over and over and over again. But he's now gotten a chance that I think a lot of people wondered whether he ever would get again. Goodell has cleared him to return to the Patriots. He'll be there this weekend, and Josh Gordon, I would expect to be ready for the regular season.
And Gordon was there today in the locker room, so... conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theory number one I sort of hit on in the opening segment. It's the Patriots media cartel at work on the Josh Gordon thing. This was Murray's. Murray thought the media cartel was at work with pumping up of Jared Stidham because the Patriots may be on the verge of moving on from Brady or sort of greasing the skids, and so you play up the backup. And the over-the-top love of Jared Stidham sort of plays into that. Then you have The Athletic and Jeff Howe saying, in a flash, the Patriots' group of wide receivers became a strength. And he's not the only one who's written this.
Right. I've seen this from a few of the assorted beat folks down there. Like, just like that. Ooh, it's at a position of strength because Gordon is back. What?
Unreal.
The thought of Patriots receivers at full strength, says Howe, is tantalizing.
I am tantalized.
He says, just like that, a positional question mark has become an explosive strength.
No, it's still a positional question mark.
If you're hinging it on one of the singularly most unreliable players in the history of sports, that's not an exaggeration. It's not. Sorry, it's not. He's one of the most unreliable players in the history of pro sports. If that's what turns it from a question mark into explosive strength, that makes no sense. So that feels like a sell job. If you think the cartel's at work, I don't blame you. Conspiracy theory number one. How about conspiracy theory number two in terms of his return, Murray? Oh. What do you think it could be tied to?
All right. So last week, you didn't even know this until I put it in the email chain. The NFL entered into a deal with rapper Jay-Z and Roc Nation, that's his big company, for an overhaul of the Super Bowl halftime show and to bring cooler entertainment in and to support the league's social justice initiatives, whatever that means. It's not with Colin Kaepernick, so it's kind of hollow.
So what it feels, man, just jump in, because yeah. I did read up on it, or just, you know, the little reporting that's done on it, that it's basically the NFL's broader goal is to use music, and specifically the halftime show, as a way to expand the NFL's appeal and to break down barriers in communication about people from diverse situations and backgrounds.
Yeah, that's all a crock. A lot of
Well, it's not a crock. You know what this means? Say goodbye to the marching band. Like, you're going to now have sort of like diverse or different sort of cultural statements or musical entertainment there at halftime, right?
I think it means say goodbye to bands that really only appeal to a older, whiter audience.
That's what
like
I mean,
Aerosmith.
Yeah, say goodbye to the marching band.
Yeah.
See ya, Springsteen.
But I also think it's kind of hollow because it's the NFL desperately trying to get in, you know, get back a segment of their audience, I think specifically African-Americans that feel like Colin Kaepernick was blackballed and continues to be so. And they also, you know, this is kind of a way to, I think, to try to get those people that are still pissed off about that back. I don't know if it's going to work. I think the whole thing rings hollow. But here's my conspiracy theory behind this. Who brokered the deal between Jay-Z and the NFL?
You tell me.
Robert Kraft. So again, the NFL desperately needs street cred. They crave not to look like the bad guy when it comes to the social justice issues and blackballing Kaepernick. So who can get Jay-Z to the table? Robert Kraft. He's boys with Meek Mill. He's friendly with Jay-Z. Early in January, Kraft and Roger Goodell go to L.A. They meet with Jay-Z. There's like five more meetings, other communications. The partnership finalized last week. Without Kraft, Jay-Z does not walk through that door. He does not pick up the phone. He does not have any meetings with that ginger stiff Roger Goodell in the NFL. Because Jay-Z has been extremely outspoken about supporting Colin Kaepernick, wearing his jersey, this kind of thing. So in turn for this favor, getting Jay-Z to come to the table and try to bring some credibility and coolness back to the league, Kraft gets Josh Gordon back. I think it's a kid that he genuinely wants to help. It obviously helps his team on the field, but he gets to look like a good guy if he can rehabilitate Josh Gordon. And you watch this, too. There's not going to be any discipline from the NFL when it comes to Robert Kraft getting the old extra services and finding the keys down at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Florida, too. That thing's going to—we haven't heard anything on that, but if that goes by the wayside the next couple of weeks, don't be surprised, because I really think that this was a favor— from the NFL back to Robert Kraft, for Robert Kraft setting up this thing with Jay-Z.
Okay, I think that's in it too, and I think they are trying to evolve the league and trying to evolve in terms of marijuana and mental health and that sort of combination. I think this falls right in line with it.
Yeah, this is Beatles' take on it too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true too. I think though, if you think it's just marijuana with Josh Gordon, you're just wrong.
I agreed. It's
you're
more
just
about
wrong.
Alcohol
it's,
than anything else. But the misconception is that
it's
he
beyond
keeps
all
getting,
that.
Yeah, he keeps getting popped for weed, and that's okay.
So this last one may have been weed. I have no idea what the last one was about. Maybe that was weed. But his history is way more than weed and alcohol. Just take my word for it, okay?
Or just read the GQ thing, right? It was the
article. Yeah. Please, right, exactly.
That's powerful stuff right there.
You don't even need to take my word for it. Just it's beyond just the weed. But either way,
I wouldn't take your word for it. Don't worry.
Thank you. I think it plays into that PR initiative. So conspiracy theory number three, how come Bill's being such a dick about it? That's another thing we got to know. Here's Bill and poor Steve Burton last night at halftime, or Saturday night during the game.
Well, joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. Before I even want to talk about the first half, I do want to bring up Josh Gordon, because you put out a statement earlier today. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, that's why I put out the statement.
Okay. All right. Good luck in the second half.
Yeah, and then he took a dump on him in the next two questions about football in the second half and blah, blah, blah. So Bill was pissed at Steve Burton for asking, are you sure you don't want anything to add?
Not at all.
Okay. And then today, during his press conference with the media, this is what it sounded. It's about, we condensed this into about a minute. Go ahead.
Have you had a chance to meet with Josh Gordon this morning?
I meet with the players every day.
Experience and excited about his opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I'll release a statement on that. I have nothing to add to it. That's where we're at.
Did he come in, you know, or how would you describe it? Did he come in good shape, or were you pleased with how he maintained his
health? Yeah, I think I've already covered all of it.
Bill,
did you get that his statement?
I saw it on Twitter, but it's been a couple.
Yeah, sorry, I mean, I don't do my face, but I mean, we're happy to give you a copy of it. It's really, that's where I'm at.
So I had one question about the statement, because it did feel like there was maybe a little bit of room there in terms of his future with the team, maybe some uncertainty. So if he's available according to the league, is there any uncertainty as far as you're concerned as to whether or not he'll be with the team?
Well, I mean, he hasn't even been on the field yet. I think I covered it. There's nothing more to add. It's another line of questioning, or are we going to... Or can a witness step down now?
Okay, Mason, you can cut it there. You can cut it again. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave out the snot rocket. Sorry. Thank you. We got to make sure we get that in.
Just getting mad because people are trying to do their job.
So, look, I said he was being a jerk. I mean, and he is jerky. It sounds like it. If you see the video, he's actually smiling through a lot of it. Okay, so he's smirking through some of it. Bill just doesn't have it in him to... So simply, he one line in there hinted at his approach, which is he hasn't even been on the field yet. So all he has to do to Burton or to us down there today is say, guys, he hasn't played a snap. He's been in the league's control for the last 6 months, so we've had no contact with him. We're not allowed to have any contact with him. I've never seen him. So it's unfair of me to us and to him to project anything on one day at a time.
Yeah, in terms of high expectations, anything like that.
And we'll see what he looks like today. Like, that's all he has to say. Fellas, I haven't seen him in 6 months. There's nothing to say. There's nothing I can comment on until I see him today. And then it's one day at a time. And so I really can't answer any of your questions. I don't want to answer any of your questions. But he doesn't have that gene, right?
No, he doesn't.
He's going to belittle you and...
And put out the statement.
You know, blow his nose at you. And, you know, I covered that in the statement, even though the statement covered none of the questions he was asked. And so we just sort of play this game because he can't just, because he just doesn't have it, you know. He just doesn't have that ability to relate on a human level and just say, guys, look, I.
But you said earlier, so you, and going back a couple of weeks, based on something he said before, you felt like he might have known this was coming down the pipeline anyway.
Yeah, I do. When he was asked about Maurice Horst a couple of weeks ago, and he said, well, we'll see how it looks like in a couple of weeks.
So then why is he so cold about like his Gordon's return and the way he's talking about it? He just doesn't have it in his nature.
Twofold, because I don't think he wants the hype train to get going on Gordon. So I'm not giving you anything on Gordon. And I think there might be a second thing where they're not allowed to have any contact with him. And I think that, I don't know. If it makes it sound like, yeah, he looks great, we look forward to seeing him, I've talked to him, well, then you've been talking and practicing a player not allowed to talk or practice to him. Maybe he's sensitive to that. There's a rule there. Like, you know, Gordon wasn't allowed on premises. That's why he played catch with Brady at Pine Manor. And it's like, if they play into the fact that they've talked to him, have seen him run, have seen him work out, well, that's technically a violation. I don't know. Or maybe it's Bill just... For whatever reason, he just can't say, guys, I'm not going to talk about him. I haven't seen him in 6 months. Like, he just can't do it on a human level. But now we've been at this for 20 years. We know what we're going to get.
I just found the juxtaposition between his statement and Goodell's statement, which really came off as like
human
and magnanimous and rooting for the kid. It's just like night and day. You would think the guy who is his coach would be a little bit more human about it, but nope.
Okay, so, I mean, I think it's obviously value add for the team. I mean, to think that you can now, like, lock it down, they've got an explosive receiving group is silly. One of the single most unreliable athletes in the history of pro sports has locked in nothing. He's increased your ceiling. He's raised your ceiling. That's all. So your thoughts on Josh Gordon returning to the Patriots in general after that game on Saturday night, the Red Sox and their 5-game winning streak, Murray, McCarthy.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
The Orioles and the Indians, who were overlooking the Red Sox to play a real team in New York.
Okay. The 5-game winning streak of your Boston Red Sox. We'll get to that, and Chris Sale, which I think is not getting the weight that it deserves. This is a guy who you've committed $30 million to a year, and it starts next year, 5 times 31, McCarthy? Is that what it was?
Something like that. I'll get the exact numbers. 5 for over 145. Don't ask me to do math.
And he is staring down the barrel of Tommy John, which means a year plus. A year plus. Bye-bye, Chris Sale, for the foreseeable future. See you at the opening of spring training in 2021. And that's just my guess. There's no new news on Sale. He's meeting James Andrews today. When we get that news, we'll give it to you. But those are our four topics. Right back to your calls after this.
It's another line of questioning, or are we going to, or can a witness step down now?
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You know, this all happened today. You know, so our doctors have looked at the MRI. We'll have other doctors look at the MRI, too. So we'll have further information that we'll be getting over the next few days. Tomorrow won't get any because it being a Sunday. So we're in a situation where I don't really know where it's going to take us at this point.
Dave, is there any concern that he's got a ligament issue?
All I know is he has inflammation at this point, and that they'll have... People will further read the MRIs, and then they'll make their diagnosis.
Do you expect him to pitch again this season?
I don't know. I don't know one way or the other at this point.
Dave Dombrowski on Saturday on Chris Sale. Boy, he's giving it on a silver platter to give a positive spin on it. Because someone asked him, you seem confident it's not a major injury. And I don't know where someone would get that confidence, but... He was asked, you seem confident it's not a major injury, and he said, I can't answer that.
Yeah, that's pretty ominous for him to say that. Then again, Dave Dombrowski is a dead man walking. Maybe he's just, I don't know, he didn't give a rat's ass because he knows he's out at the end of the year, so he ain't going to give you all that much.
My guess is, just a guess, it's news is not going to be good today on Chris Sale, and that means a year plus for Tommy John. A year. And McCarthy, if you're telling me they've been able to trim these a little bit, and it's not quite so long, but in my experience, it's a year and a half for these guys.
Well, the timing of this is important, too, because this is happening in mid-August. So if he has surgery, say, this week.
Spring training 2021.
Right. What's the point? You're bringing him back for, you're getting him on the mound next August. That's too late at that point. You're looking at losing the entire 2020 season, and hopefully he's ready to go for 2021.
At the age of 32, on a $31 million a year contract for the next 4 years guaranteed. That's a major deal.
They should have never given him that extension. Or, like I said at the time, just wait. What's it hurt to wait? And I put this more on John Henry than anything else. You remember what he said at the picnic table when they made this signing at spring training? It was like the cause and the effect of letting John Lester go up with a 30-year-old pitcher, and they felt some guilt over that, so that's why they felt the need to do it in spring training. Foolish. They should have waited.
Derek and Foxborough, your thoughts on Chris Sale?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks, you know, the injury now, and he's had a down year, but I think there's some revisionist history going on about the contract. You have to remember all the prospects they gave up for this guy. They gave up Moncada, who was the number one prospect in baseball, and Kopech, who was a top 10 guy. You couldn't risk losing him this offseason for nothing. If he had walked at the end of the season for nothing, you would have killed the team for it. So they really had to give him that extension, you know, because of what they gave up for him.
So, Derek, I think these guys hit on why you gave him the extension is because they're always sort of chasing their tail. They screwed, you know, so how did this go? I'll give you another example. They didn't get, who was a Cuban player where Theo flipped out and chucked the
Contreras.
Contreras. So they didn't get Contreras, and so they overreached on Ruzny Castillo when he came up the next time.
You're talking about Abreu, but yeah, they missed out on Contreras too, way back in the day.
So maybe it was Abreu, but they missed out on some of these Cuban players, and so the next one that came on, they just grossly overpaid. Flipped to John Lester. They have this thing where we're not going to overpay our veteran pitchers. You know, we're smarter than everybody else. They let John Lester go. That blows up in their face. And now you get Chris Sale in the, you know, roughly the same spot. And John Henry says that as Murray mentioned at the picnic tables, you know, we didn't make the right decision on that. Or he alluded to the Lester situation, sort of throwing Lucchino under the bus. But basically, it's just sort of chasing their tail and reversing what they screwed up the time before. So the next time they have a veteran lefty come up for a contract, they're going to let him go.
Right.
They're going to they're always trying to chase the mistake they made the time before. And that's what I think the Chris Sale thing was.
But the problem with Sale is it was so obvious with this guy. He had never been able to essentially pitch a full season in the big leagues. He always faded. He always broke down. There were concerns about Sale before he came over from Chicago. It's like, man, look at this guy's build. You know, is he going to be the type of guy who's going to pitch effectively into his mid-30s? And nobody in their right minds would have thought that except the Boston Red Sox. This is not John Lester, who is a big guy. You know, Lester's got the legs. He's got the ass. He's got the build. He's a pitcher. Chris Sale is not built like a pitcher. He's not built to last. Yet the Red Sox gave him all this money coming off an injury, by the way.
It's because of the Lester thing.
Yep, of course it is.
It's because of the Lester thing. Jack in the car on Josh Gordon. Go ahead, Jack.
Hi, I want to set the over-under on 10 games for Josh Gordon. You get 10 games out of him, you're doing good. And I'd like to call, I'm a big fan of Murray's. All I can say is, Maslow, thanks, guys.
I would take the under on the Josh Gordon 10 games, just given the history. Look, I wish the best for him. You all do, but, I mean, you got 11 out of him last year, and those last two weren't all that great, especially the one in Pittsburgh.
So
he pulls himself off the field.
I mean, if you're going on history, you've got to take the under.
Yeah.
I like to think that, you know, they've had him now in their system for almost a year, and it's like they've been working with him, and the league's been working with him, and I hope he makes it. I'm not going to root against him. But it's just hard to put it in the, you know, lock it down, the receiver core is all set now column. How do you do that with a guy who's played what is it now? Something like 10 games in the last 3+ years something like that. I mean, it's just, that's absurd. We continue with your calls. It's a Reentry Monday. We got Big Jim Murray in from Maz McCarthy in the update studio. Got the Pats and how they look Saturday night. I have more game thoughts for you and team thoughts for you. The Josh Gordon reinstatement. The Chris Sale injury. Still waiting news on that one. We'll give you the latest when it develops. And the Red Sox in general who've won 5 straight, even though these guys don't want to admit it. Here comes an update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.